Man, thank you for the good music. Be in the book of 1 Corinthians tonight. If you've got a Bible, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Whenever you look around in the world, you may not like what you see. But you can always look in the Bible. In the Bible, you will find the truth. You may not find the truth in the world. And the truth, the Bible is going to disagree with what's going on a lot of times in a lot of places. But Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the truth does not change, nor does God change." Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, God said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I can't understand that. That's hard to understand how that God could be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it says about Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. And sometimes the Bible is going to disagree with a lot of things that go on, but anyway, we're looking for Jesus to come, and he'll come one of these days, be a shock to everybody, and he's going to take us out of here. Amen? Amen. We look forward to that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, let us pray, and then we'll go on. Father in heaven, we come to thy throne of grace. Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us. God, thank you for your goodness and kindness. Thank you, God, for watching over us for another week, another few days. Pray, Father, that you'd help us tonight to be a blessing to one another. Help us to be built up a little bit more in the faith tonight. And God, give us understanding. We pray the Spirit of God would please be our teacher and please help us. Help me, I pray, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We've had an introduction a couple of weeks ago to the book of 1 Corinthians, and last week we talked about verse number 2, the church of God. The church of God in verse number 2, the church of God is the term for the body of Christ in Paul's epistles. The Apostle Paul wrote, I think he wrote 14 books, but at least 3 of them, or 13 of them, were to the church. And so Paul is... He's our apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he wrote to churches. And so we need to pay attention to what he said to the church. He wrote here, it says, to the church of God. So Paul is writing to those saved people in the church at Corinth. Before that, we had, I think it was on Wednesday night, maybe some on Sunday morning, Sunday school, we had 5 lessons on some doctrines. We had Sunday school lessons on some doctrines that covered about 15 things that happened to a person, happened to us at salvation. But you know those things that we covered, that's not all of them. There's a lot more. There are many other things that we have as Christians that we will find out here in these other books, 1 Corinthians being one of them. As far as religions go, there's a lot of religions out there, but Christianity, as far as I'm concerned, is the only one that has all the answers to the ills of mankind. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior that is offered to mankind. He's the only Savior there is. Other religions don't have a Savior. They are told to work, do good, be good, do this, do that, and you might make it. But God has given us a Savior, a perfect Savior. And if you're not saved tonight, if you don't know that if you died today that you would go to heaven, then you need to be saved. I don't care how old you are. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why would you put it off? Why would you not be saved today? The Bible says we are all sinners. We have all sinned against God. And because of that, our sins will take us to hell. But Jesus Christ came and died for your sins on the cross. He bore your sins in his own body and he suffered in your place. He died a substitutionary death and he wants you to be saved. Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants more people to be saved more than they want to be saved, more than we want them to be saved. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior offered to mankind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other Savior. Mankind cannot save himself. Mankind makes a mess out of everything. If you don't believe it, just look out the door. You know that man makes a mess of everything that he touches. And not only is Jesus Christ the only Savior that is offered to mankind, but the Bible is the only book that gives us the answers on how to have a blessed life. The Bible is the only book that tells us. All the other books are worthless. They're no good. The Bible tells us how to live a blessed life, which is a great contrast to what they call the Quran. The Quran advocates violence. It advocates kill the Jews, kill the Christians, kill all the infidels, you see. But instead, the Bible, in contrast to the Quran, the Bible gives us scriptures on how to be blessed and enriched. In this verse that we're going to look at tonight in verse number 5, it tells us how that our life can be enriched from the Bible. You don't get saved in order to be enriched, but it's like a byproduct. Because you are saved, your life will be enriched. Be repeating myself here. But you can have a blessed and an enriched life because you got saved, you see. In verse number 1 to 9 here, in these verses, is Paul's introduction to his letter. And verse number 1 says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle, and we talked about all of that, of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. And verse number 2 says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. And we talked about that, the church of God. And then he goes on to say, which are at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There's 3 points I want to make from that. Number 1, it says there, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Being sanctified is one of those things that we talked about, is something that you have because you're saved, whenever you get saved. And the Bible says here that it's in Christ Jesus. The word sanctified means to be set apart. We are set apart and sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's all you have to do. To be sanctified is to be in Christ. All of your blessings come from being in Christ. You don't get anything from God outside of Jesus Christ. All of our blessings are in Christ. Turn your Bibles, just hold your place there and flip back to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, and here is Jesus speaking. John chapter 14 and verse number 20. He says, at that day, John 14, 20, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, there's 3 things there. Jesus said, I'm in my Father. And number 2, you're in me. And number 3, I am in you. I don't know how anybody could get any more secure than that right there. Amen. Jesus is in his Father, and we're in him, and he's in us, you see. That's being in Christ, part of his body. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 30, We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's to be in Christ. You cannot put yourself in Christ, but you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God will put you into Christ. So God has set us apart. He has sanctified us as sons of God for his own purpose, you see. Sanctified. And then the next thing it says there, verse number 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The next thing, if you're sanctified, then you are a saint. The Catholic Church cannot make you a saint. Yeah. Nobody needs to vote on it. You don't get to vote on it. God makes you a saint. If you're saved, then you're a saint. You're sanctified, and because you're sanctified, then you're a saint. I think maybe the words saint comes from the word sanctified, you see. The Bible does not give a long list of qualifications for being a saint. Just be in Christ. If you're in Christ, God has set you apart, and you're a saint. And so, saint this or saint that. Nobody gets to vote on it. Bible says here he's writing to the saints that are at Corinth. And he said, the last part of that verse says, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, in the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't necessarily think that he's talking about here about getting saved. He's just talking about praying, calling upon the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord. If anybody is saved, surely they're going to call upon God. How can you live without praying? I don't know how anybody could. I've went a long time maybe without praying, but I shouldn't have done it. I was wrong. I was wrong, and I knew I was wrong, you see. You should never go a day without praying, without calling upon the name of the Lord. Maybe even you shouldn't even go an hour without calling upon the name of the Lord. I mean, it ought to be just like this, that you get a phone call of a morning. Long time ago, they used to have these old black phones. You just put them on your shoulder, you know, like this, and you go around. I can't do it with the cell phones, you know. I just can't keep it up there. My cell phone is not big enough, or doesn't work. But on the old black phones, you put your phone up here, and you just walk around and talk while you're, except for it had a cord on it, and your cell phone doesn't have a cord on it. But see, that's the way it ought to be with prayer. And I'm sorry to say I don't always do that. But you can just talk to God first thing of a morning, and then you can just walk around and talk to God all day long. You don't have to hang up the phone. You can just talk to Him anytime. Dear God, I need some help. Lord, would you help me with this? Help me with this. God, help me to find my keys. Or Lord, help me to find this or that. You know, anytime something happens, well, see, my wife lost her keys tonight, so I just pestering her a little bit there. But we found them. We found them. And I'm always having to pray about my calves or something, you know. I say, God, I've got this calf here, and I need to brand him. And Lord, if you'd please just tell him to be still, be calm. Be calm, you know. I can't handle them whenever they get big, you know. So I brand them when they're little. And I say, God, this is a beast of the field. You made him. He'll do what you tell him. Please help him to be calm. You know, and when I stick the iron to him, help him not to holler too loud, see, because the other cows, they'll come running in. You know, all that. You can just talk to God all the time. You can talk to God first thing whenever you get up. You can talk to God last thing when you go to bed. And you can talk to him all during the day, you see. He's writing here to all those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Next verses, verse number 3 and 4, talk about the grace of God. Paul is heavy on grace. You know what? You ought to become familiar with the grace of God. You ought to become familiar with the grace of God. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. He said this. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Look at verse number 3. He says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. The grace of God is found in those two verses. And as I said, Paul is heavy on the grace of God. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It says we're just standing in grace. We're standing in grace. We have access to the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is this. That's God giving us things that we do not deserve. That's in plain English, plain talking. That's God giving you. That's God being good to you when you don't deserve it, when I don't deserve it, when I deserved death and I deserved hell and I deserved the lowest place in hell. You know what? God didn't send me there. When I deserved the worst from God, God was the best to me. That's because He is God. He is God, and He is merciful, kind, gracious, long-suffering. And whenever you deserve something that's bad, then God doesn't give it to you. But the reason for that is the cross. Jesus Christ. Because you believe in Him, because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has opened up the floodgates of the grace of God towards you, you see. And that's why you don't get what you deserve so many times. If I got what I deserve, as I said before, I would be in the lowest hell that God could create. That's where I'd be. That's where I deserve to be, you see. But man, God is good. God is so gracious. For the grace of God which is given us by Christ Jesus. The grace of God is God blessing us with blessings that we do not deserve. It's God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's God blessing us with blessings. It's God lifting us up whenever we cannot lift ourselves. I don't know about you, but God has lifted me up. Like David, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He established my goings. And He put a new song in my heart. When I got saved in 1970, because my wife went to church by herself, I went to church with her a couple of weeks after. And they sang the songs. I'd heard those songs when I was a kid. I used to hoe out in the field. And we went to a church, a Primitive Baptist church. And they sang a cappella. And they would sing the old hymns that we sing now. They would sing Rock of Ages. They would sing Amazing Grace. They would sing There Is a Fountain. I wasn't saved. I never got saved in a Primitive Baptist church. They believe that what will be, will be. They believe if you're one of the elect, God's going to save you, even if He has to save you kicking and screaming. He's going to save you. You see, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God's going to save you if you're one of the elect. But I used to sing those hymns. And when I went to that church after I got saved, been saved a few weeks, and they sang those songs came back to me, you know. And I would, when I was hoeing out in the field when I was a kid, I would occasionally, it's God doing something, see. I wasn't saved, but God was doing something, and I would sing some of those songs occasionally, Amazing Grace or a Rock of Ages. The grace of God, that's God lifting you when you can't lift yourself. That's God saving those who cannot save themselves. That's God forgiving us on a daily basis when we sin and whenever we fall short, as was preached Sunday night. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, if it's up to me, you know, I might set a limit. You know, if you do this one sin 10 times, buddy, that's it. But I don't know that God has done that. Has God done that? I don't think so. He said it plain and simple. If we confess our sins, if you agree with God, God, this is wrong. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse you and wipe it away from all sin. From all unrighteousness, you see. That's the grace of God. God forgiving us whenever we sin, whenever we fall short. Verse number 5-9 here. I need to go on because I need to cover a little bit of ground here. I want to get down to verse number 17 or 18. Verse number 5 says this, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, you'll notice in verse number 5, he says that in everything you are enriched by Him. Can I repeat myself here just a little bit? You do not get saved to get enriched. You might have heard preaching before. If you'll just get saved and if you accept Christ as your Savior, everything will be fine. You won't have any problems and you will, you know. There are a lot of preachers, they call it the prosperity gospel. They believe that everybody's supposed to be rich because they're rich, you know, because people have been sending them money, see. They have been foolish sending these people money. Don't send them any money. Don't send them a dime. They can't heal a sick dog, see. Don't send them any money. But your life will be enriched by money. I have no idea. But your life will be better. Your life will be enriched because of God. Because the Bible says you can walk with God and your life will be better. You won't do some of the things that you would have done. Where would you be today, tonight, if not for God? You might be in jail. You might be in the hospital. There are a lot of things that you can do as an unsaved person that they will kill you. You drink enough beer, it'll kill you. You drink enough liquor and alcohol, it'll kill you. Drugs will kill you. All that stuff, sin will kill you. They advertise it on TV. If you'll just do this, you will be so happy. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to see those same people maybe when they get to be 50 years old. They get to be 60 years old. If they make it that long. If they even live that long. You see, you won't do those things if people will get right with God. They won't do those things. Oh, they used to advertise cigarettes on television. They would even have doctors on there. You know, you may not be old enough to remember that, but I remember them advertising them Pall Mall cigarettes, you know. Camel cigarette, you know. What was it? Something about camels, you know, walk a mile with a camel or something like that. I don't know. Man, I'll tell you what, Camel, that's probably the worst thing in the world to stick in your mouth. That stuff will kill you. It'll kill you. First time anybody ever smokes one of them things, they probably cough and hack around, but then they make themselves get used to it, you see. You get right with God, you won't do those kind of things. You'll live longer. That's just one way your life will be enriched. The enrichment of God will show up in your life, in your family, in your children, your kids, maybe your health, maybe your bank account. I have no idea, you see. I have no idea. But your life will be better. It'll be rich. It'll be rich. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. An abundant life, a better life, a blessed life, a life with purpose. People are always talking, you know, why are we here? What is our purpose here? To glorify God. That's why we're here. To glorify God and get ready to go and live with Him forever. You see? Man, and I want to be like what it says on down through here. When I meet Him, I want to be blameless. I want to be blameless. Man, I want the slate wiped clean. And it's wiped clean if you're in Christ, you see. Verse 5 again, that in everything ye are enriched by Him. And He names two things in all utterance. In all utterance, that'd be what you say or how you witness for the Lord. In all utterance and in all knowledge, what you know. Your life will be enriched by Him. It'll be better. It'll be more blessed. Sometimes we forget. We forget, don't we? We forget where we came from. We forget about the cross. We forget where we might be. Salvation for us becomes commonplace, and we forget where we would be if it were not for God, if God had not intervened. Like Jeff said Sunday night, that God shined a ray of light in your heart. That's what salvation is. That prison he was talking about, that's your soul. Man, God shined a ray of light. You know what that's what happened whenever you got saved. That light that is talking about in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be light, and it wasn't the sunlight he's talking about. That's light from God. That's that ray of light. And whenever you got saved, God shined a ray of light into your heart. And that was God intervening in your life. And I thank God that He has intervened in our life. Even if we didn't ask Him to at first, but I pray that He won't leave us alone. God, don't leave us alone. God, don't let us go. But your life will be better. Possibly even the length of your life, who knows? Verse number 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. the testimony of Christ, that's the truth of Christ. It's firmly fixed in you. That is who he is, and what he has done for us, you see. It is confirmed in us, and it becomes stronger for us. Verse number 7, so that you come behind in no gift. This church here had some gifts, and we'll talk about those later. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for him. Verse number 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Now that right there, that is eternal security. Amen. Jesus Christ, God, is going to stay with you forever. He's going to stay with you to the end, all the way to the end. Now, you know, Christians, a lot of times, they throw God overboard. They throw Jesus overboard. But Jesus said here, God said here, I'll stay with you to the end. Amen. I'm going to stay with you to the end. I'm never going to let you go. See, don't throw God overboard. Don't throw Jesus overboard. I don't believe in throwing Jesus Christ overboard. That's what Judas Iscariot did. See, he dumped Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You see, don't do it. Don't do it. He says there, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come before Jesus Christ, stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. Going to be blameless. Blameless. The word blameless means without fault, innocent. It means guiltless. It means not guiltless. It means there will be no fault in you. You stand before him. You know why that's possible? Because you're in Christ. In Christ. We go on here. I've got a few more minutes left. That's verse number 8. Verse number 9, but God is faithful, or God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We could talk about God being faithful there. We've talked about that a lot. Let's look at verse number 10 to 16. There are some divisions here in the local church. Divisions in the local church. Look at verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Now here's Paul writing to them, and he is pleading with them for unity in their church. He's appealing to them for unity because some of them, they're griping and complaining among themselves, quarreling among themselves, and evidently they're following different men here. Different men. Let me read it for you. He said that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. So he uses the word divisions in verse number 10, and then verse number 11, he uses the word contentions. He said that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Verse number 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So someone, these people here of the house of Chloe, they had told Paul that there is contentions among these people in the church. Why is that? They're arguing among them. And Apollos, and somebody says, I'm following Christ. And so they're arguing, Paul is my hero. Cephas is my hero. Apollos is my hero. He's better than you, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Verse number 12 says this, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Paul asked this question in verse number 13. Is Christ divided? Well, no, he's not. Was Paul crucified for you? No, he wasn't. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, he wasn't. So what they're having there, there are some divisions among the people there. They're following different men, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and different things like that. So if a person was following Christ, one of them says that, then they should be able to get along with anybody. And maybe they were baptized by some of these different men. So anyway, they're having trouble there in the church. When I was a young man, we hadn't been saved very long. I've been in a few churches where they had some problems, you know. It's not any fun. It's not any fun to have problems in different places. And here's what I think. There are some things worth arguing over, and there's some things that are not worth arguing over. A few things that are worth arguing over, fighting over, whatever. One time, there was a church split in a place that I was in because of some people wanted to play ball. And the preacher said, I don't want y'all playing ball anymore. A bunch of people got up and walked out. I don't think that's worth arguing about. Some people argue and fuss about, about the carpet, about the pews, about the color of the walls. I don't think those things are worth arguing about. Unless you want to paint a purple, that might be worth arguing about. I don't know. Something, or pink, things like, or black. No, come on, let's just, common sense, you see. But anyway, I've been around those kind of things, and it's bad. The things that are worth arguing about are this. Number one, the Bible. Number two, the things concerning sound doctrine. You folks, we never argue about that because you all believe the Bible. If somebody comes over here and they don't believe the Bible, they're going to be uncomfortable here. You see, they're going to be uncomfortable. Why would you do that? But those things like the Bible, the things concerning sound doctrine, other things you could throw in there like abortion. I'm never going to be for that. And that gets mentioned every once in a while, you see. That's awful to me. I think it's awful. But those things ought to be worth. But here's the thing. I don't always have to have my way. And you don't need to always have your way. If you got a better way of doing something, fine, let's do it. We do things a certain way around here. Some of them I started when I came here 6.5 years ago. Well, Jeff is the pastor now. If he's got a better way to do it, then fine, let's do it that way. I'm for it. We don't have anything hid around here, so why would anybody want to have a problem? Everything's open around here. I had different people to count the money on Sunday night. Pick some different folks and ask them if they would count the money and then go and deposit it Monday. See, I trust every single one of them. And of course they did that. The reason I did that was because that way I don't have to do it. I don't have to write the checks. Miss Butler's not here, but she writes most of the checks. Occasionally the pastor has to do that. But if Jeff's got a better way to do it, then fine. Let's do it that way. It's all right. I don't always have to have my way. You don't always have to have your way. You see, we don't need to fuss about those kind of things. Number one, a person just ought to use common sense. Use a lot of common sense. And number two, don't talk too much. You know what? I don't talk all that much anyway. But even me, not talking as much as I do, I can still stick my foot in my mouth every once in a while. See? So don't talk so much. Amen. Don't, a lot of things don't need to be said, see? And I tell you what, I'm 74 years old and I know about this. See, I've said a lot of things I shouldn't have said. And then number three, just be humble. Just be humble. Just be a humble person, you see? And that'll save a lot of things. Some people are never happy and they can't be, you just can't please them. Well, sorry. I'm not gonna try to solve your problem, Just do the best you can, I guess. But whenever those things happen, we never have had any trouble here in 6.5 years. And we pray it'll continue, and I'm sure that it will. But it's just a bad thing. I heard a preacher saying that, if a church splits, then that's like missionary work. Another church started over here. I don't know. I don't care for that kind of stuff. I've seen that kind of stuff, and I don't like it. But anyway, if you're going to have missionary work, and do it in a different way. Here's what Paul said. He said in verse number 15, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. He said in verse 16, I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. In other words, he lost track of those that he had baptized. One or two points I want to bring out in verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, what you want to notice there is this. Listen carefully. Paul makes a difference between preaching the gospel and baptism. Baptism is not part of the gospel. You can look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised from the dead. There's nothing there about being baptized. Bible says this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But if you're saved, you ought to be baptized. It doesn't make you any more saved, but it's a public testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ, you see. Put yourself a slash right there, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." That doesn't mean that Paul never baptized anybody. That means that his primary message was not to baptize, or his primary goal, or his primary calling was not to baptize people, but to preach the gospel. But he did baptize some. It's like Paul had a burden for the Jews, but he wasn't called to go to the Jews, but that doesn't mean he didn't have a burden for the Jews. He was called to go to the Gentiles. So you put yourself a slash after the word baptized. "For Christ sent me not to baptize," slash. He puts a difference or a distinction between baptism and preaching the gospel. See, people who believe in baptismal regeneration, they have a problem with that verse and a lot of other verses, you see. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." We're out of time here, but not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We'll take up there again later on. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Y'all stand.